This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri, and we have two men with us, one from Uruguay, his translator is from Washington, D.C., and you're going to hear their voices right now.
Agua en la mañana alquitranada, o en la noche que cubre de cartones el amanecer. Agua en los tejados anidando. Agua en la explanada donde olvidaron sus agujeros negros las estrellas. Agua incesante, agua de a ratos. Agua en el reflejo que descubre el ojo en el espejo. Agua en la tinta de los versos que no se escribirán nunca. Agua rebasando el vaso frío y ahogado con una gota inestimable. Agua en el revuelto río de nuestra paz interior, donde jamás caminaremos, donde ni cenizas quedan. Agua acampando en torno al último fogón.
That is the voice of Miguel Avero, and now Jonah Coles.
Waters. Water in the tar-dark morning, or the night that covers the sunrise with boxes. Water nesting on rooftops. Water in the plaza where the stars forgot their black holes. Constant water. Occasional water. Water in the reflection that discovers the eye in the mirror. Water in the ink of the verses that will never be written. Water overflowing the cold glass and drowned with an immeasurable drop. Water in the troubled river of our inner peace, where we will never walk, where no ashes remain. Water settling around the last fire.
Oh, that is beautiful. In Spanish or in English, Jonah Coles, you have translated this book. What's the title of the book?
Aguas. Waters.
Yes, and it's gorgeous too. So this is the premier translation edition for the Washington Writers Publishing House, of which Jonah is president.
Yes.
Co-president with Caroline Bach. And we are hosting Miguel from Uruguay. And so Miguel, what is in this book?
El libro se titula Aguas y es una antología que reúne buena parte de mis dos primeros libros, que se llamaron Arca de Serrín y La Pieza. Jonah eligió el título con mucha sabiduría, ya que el agua es en ambas obras un elemento fundamental. Estuve investigando durante mucho tiempo acerca de la simbología del agua y cómo fue abordada dicha simbología en el cine, la pintura y la literatura. Luego, cuando comencé a escribir la pieza, pretendí cortar con el agua, pero fue imposible. Se filtraba por todas partes, tanto es así que uno de los primeros poemas de ese libro dice, casi al inicio, «Todos los desagües mueren en la ventana sur». Es decir, que el agua siempre fue incontenible.
Jonah.
Yeah, so Miguel said the book is titled Aguas, and it brings together his first two books of poetry. The first one was called Sawdust Ark, and then The Room. And I chose the title very wisely since water is in both works, which is a fundamental element here in his book. Miguel dice que... Miguel says he was researching for a long time about the symbolism of water and how it is addressed in the movies, in painting, or in literature. In when he started writing the piece, he tried to break off with water, but it was impossible. It seeped in everywhere, and it goes from the first poem all the way to the last poem.
You can't hold back water.
No.
It's like light, isn't it? It's ubiquitous. I think it's a fabulous symbol for this book.
Yeah.
And I've read the English part of it. It's really beautiful. The word choices are very, very beautiful.
Thank you.
And how did you manage to get each other? How did you find each other?
Yeah.
How did you manage to be the translator from Washington to Montevideo?
Yeah.
What happened? How did you gravitate together?
Todo empezó hace unos años. Cuando la escritora estadounidense Jessie Lee Kercheval visitó mi país en el marco de una investigación sobre poetas uruguayos jóvenes. Yo quedé entre los seleccionados y ella decidió publicar algunos de mis poemas en su país, aquí, here. Para ello me puso en contacto con Jonah Coles, quien hizo un trabajo de traducción magnífico. Afortunadamente Jonah quiso seguir trabajando con mis textos, así que se embarcó en este proyecto que se acaba de coronar con la edición de este precioso libro.
Yeah. So a few years ago, it was probably like almost 10 years ago now, Jessie Lee Kercheval, she's an American poet. She's wonderful. Do you know her, Jessie Lee Kercheval? No? She's out of University of Wisconsin at Madison. She went to Uruguay to do some research on younger Uruguayan poets, and she selected Miguel to publish in her anthology called America Invertida. And we got matched up. She paired me up with Miguel. And then I just sort of, I continued translating his work.
How long did it take for this whole process of collaboration? Months? Years?
For the book or just for
everything? For the book? For collaborating, for translating.
¿Cuánto tiempo aquí? 10 años, más o menos.
10 years.
10 años, sí.
How many?
10 years, yeah. 10 years.
Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, about 10 years from when we started. When I started translating for the anthology of Jesse Lee, and then I kept translating, and I got, you know, some been published in, you know, literary journals,
yes,
online.
Yes.
And then we had enough for, initially it was 2 books, which I shopped around a little bit, and then Jesse Lee suggested that we just do one, like a selected works. So I kind of chose the ones that spoke most.
10 years.
But 10 years.
People don't understand what it takes.
It takes a long time.
Really, you were a young man then, Jonah.
I was.
And Miguel, you just raised him from a child. This is so great. Well, how do you like working with Jonas?
¿Cómo te gusta trabajando conmigo?
¿Cómo me siento trabajando contigo? Trabajar con Jonah ha sido muy fácil y muy interesante.
Easy, I got that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Y siempre estuvimos como en un contacto permanente.
Sympathetic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No problems, Jonah?
No problems. I mean, there was, a few things popped up in the book, some, you know, translation error, questions I had about the words,
right,
or specifically
right.
the phrases. But Miguel is very, very responsive, and we would do a lot on WhatsApp.
Oh, really?
WhatsApp almost every day. Cada día,
how about
más
Zoom
o menos un poquito.
And Skype?
We had like one Zoom, but we mainly did WhatsApp.
You know, people do not understand what it takes. I've had my poetry translated to Italian, and the pronouns.
Yes,
you know, the
hard.
Pronouns are where the problem is.
Yeah.
And the phraseology. Do you believe, Jonah, that you've gotten the cadence as he wishes it?
I've hoped to capture some of that. I asked Miguel to read many of his poems, record them so I could hear it, so I could hear his rhythm,
that's
so
wonderful.
I could hear, you know, the sound links and see what was happening within the poems. And I attempted that to you know, honor that in my translation. But it's difficult, you know. It's a puzzle. It's a craft.
It is more than the third voice.
Yeah.
It is more than that. So let us hear a duo of poetry. We'll start with the Spanish first. And what will be the poem? What's the title, Jonah?
Sawdust Ark.
Okay. Te descubrirán mil veces tras excavar en la memoria. Sea de quien sea, será tuyo el dormido costillar. El esqueleto esparcido entre los montes milenarios. Es el ayer el espacio mítico de tu existencia. La orfandad de presente y porvenir. Aunque en ti se posó la madre de todas las lluvias. Y entre todos los rostros viste las más oscuras máscaras del cielo, bajo un abanico de tormentas, sea de quien sea será tuyo el cuerpo a medio sepultar. Las fauces azules no pudieron devorarte nunca, por más que la lluvia crepitaba como un incendio interminable. Alboroto y miedo en el corazón de los casales, los maderos castigados por pezuñas y musgo, todos en la arena, leyenda y aserrín.
Sawdust Ark. They will discover you 1,000 times after digging in the memory. Whoever you are, it will be yours. The sleeping rib, the skeleton scattered among the ancient mountains. Mm. It is yesterday, the mythical space of your existence, orphan of present and future. Although when you settled the mother of all the rains, and between all the faces you saw the darkest masks of the sky. Under a range of storms, whoever it may belong to, it will be yours.
Mm.
The half-buried body, the blue jaws could never devour you, even if the rain crackled like an endless fire. Noise and fear in the heart of the houses, the timbers punished by hooves and moss. Everything is in the sand, legend and sawdust.
I love poets. Those word choices, every influence from Spanish poetry is in this book.
Yeah, it really is.
Every influence. There's magic realism.
Mm-hmm.
There is that haunting melancholy.
Yeah.
There is always the question of our existence. And he is in the greatest tradition, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I'll tell everyone who you are, Jonah. You are an educator as well as a poet. And you teach at Montgomery College.
Right.
English as a second language. Is that fulfilling for you?
It is. It's a great job. It's wonderful. My students are just wonderful. They're very dedicated. Most of them work all day.
That's right.
And then I teach in evening classes mainly, and they're motivated, you
and
know, for life.
And they need you. You change their lives. They can function after you.
Well, I try to help a little bit.
Well, you have been published in many places, Southern Review, Plowshares, Lit Hub, and many prestigious journals. So you're a professor at Montgomery College, mm-hmm. and you live in Washington, D.C. Now, Miguel is not only a poet, narrator, and essayist, but he's a teacher and a researcher. So tell us about that.
Yes. So, yeah, Miguel's he's a poet, a narrator, essayist, teacher, and researcher. His work has been translated into English, of course, and French as well. He writes literary reviews for the weekly Brecha and has appeared in various national and international anthologies, including America Invertida by Jesse de Cotcherville. And since 2011, he's published nearly a dozen books of poetry.
Wow.
And fiction. And between 2017 and 2018, he directed the writing workshop that's called Puerta Quimera.
What does that mean? The port of...
Puerta Quimera es el nombre que le puse a un taller de escritura que yo di durante 2 años en Montevideo. Que está el nombre tomado de un verso de un poeta chileno que se llama Roberto Bolaño.
It's a translation from a very famous Chilean poet.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
We're learning things. Two more poems, please. Spanish first. And the title is
Found.
Encontré a un hombre que recitaba un poema. De un poemario inconcluso su mejor poema. Y vi que mientras lo recitaba lo componía, y sus palabras se escribían en mi cerebro y salían de mi boca y de todos mis gestos, y mi voz resonaba en ese pequeño mundo solitario, donde yacía solo mi propio cuerpo, mi sola mente y mi poema, que hablaba sobre un hombre que encontraba otro, que era el mismo, recitando de su inconcluso poemario su mejor poema.
Found. I found a man who recited a poem from an unfinished book of poems, his best poem. And I saw that while he recited it, he composed it, and his words were written in my brain, and they came out of my mouth and all of my gestures, and my voice echoed in that little lonely world mm-hmm. where only my body lay, my lone mind and my poem, that talked about a man who found another that was himself reciting from his unfinished book of poems, his best poem.
That is so Spanish.
I love this one.
That
yes,
is
it
so
has that
Spanish.
Circular, you know?
Exactly, circularity.
Absolutely.
And always the question of your existence.
Yeah.
The mystery is at the heart of it.
Right.
It is just so, and the word choice, they are beautiful words.
They are.
And, you know, when I hear you read it, you have the same rhythm as he does.
Oh, good.
Thank heavens.
That's
you did it, Jonah.
I did it. I tried my best.
I'm so happy. Well, what is the poetry scene like in Montevideo and in Uruguay overall, in the country and then in your area?
El panorama poético en Montevideo es muy diverso. Hay poetas como Luis Bravo o Rafael Courtoisie que llevan como muchas décadas escribiendo, pero también conviven con poetas jóvenes muy poderosos como Juan Manuel Martínez o Magdalena Portillo, que tienen 25 años. Siempre lo digo, Uruguay es tierra de poetas y de futbolistas. Por supuesto que la cantidad y la calidad son cosas diferentes. Hay varias antologías circulando que sirven de muestra, por ejemplo la elaborada por Jesse Lee Kercheval, América Invertida, o una que coordinamos con unos amigos y que reúne a poetas ultra jóvenes, es decir, más jóvenes que nosotros, titulada En el camino de los perros.
Miguel says it's a very diverse panorama. Poets like Luis Bravo or Rafael Cortese, who have been writing for several decades or kind of coexist with young and very powerful poets like Juan Manuel Martinez or Magdalena Portillo, who are only 25 years old. He always says that Uruguay is a land of poets and soccer players.
Oh, what a combination.
And just remember, they won the game. So they're still in it. But of course, quantity and quality are different things. There's many anthologies, the one by Jesse Lee Curchervo, and there's one that he did with some friends that brings together some really, really young poets. That's called On the Path of Dogs.
Wow. So there's a scene.
See.
There's really a scene, like Paris in the 20s.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's kind of what I visualize.
I know. Who funds this? Does Uruguay have a social, nice fund for the arts?
Uruguay tiene dinero por los artes, por poesía.
Sí, hay algunos concursos literarios allá que muchos poetas apuestan a eso, okay. Porque te publican la obra y te dan un poquito de dinero, no mucho, pero más o menos para hacer algunos ejemplares ahí.
Okay, yeah. There are some classes that get money that some poets are able to teach in order to, you know, keep everything going.
We don't have that. Oh. We don't have that. Yeah. We are way behind in supporting poetry in this country. Hmm. And other countries, even Uruguay, which is not as much capital as America, has that consciousness that there's something treasured that must be sustained. And we do not have that sensibility.
No.
I know, Jonah, work as hard as we work, Jonah.
I know. But, for free, but it's... But,
yeah,
you know,
but
it's,
I am very happy to know that it's subsidized.
Yeah.
So the poets don't starve, right?
Right.
We hope. And can they give them a living wage? Ask him, can a poet get a living wage from the government?
Es posible que un poeta dinero del gobierno más que vivir o no?
No pasa muy seguido. No pasa muy seguido. Hay algunos casos. Por ejemplo, Benedetti, Mario Benedetti fue un poeta uruguayo que logró vivir de la literatura, ¿no? Okay. y de lo que le daba el gobierno. Otro caso podría ser Galeano, pero por lo general el poeta uruguayo vive de otra cosa.
Yeah.
O es teacher, docente, o da talleres literarios.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not very secure, but you know there are a few of the big poets that get some grants and some things that come through. But for the most part, people have another job. Like he's a teacher.
No kidding.
So just like us.
What's new about that poetry? Right. We're so happy to have you here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. What do you want from a life in poetry?
Bueno, aunque suene un poquito gastado. Siempre escribí por necesidad, como una necesidad propia. Nunca tuve un objetivo grandilocuente respecto a la escritura, más que el de llenar las páginas cada día de forma más decorosa. Sin embargo, la escritura ha transformado mi vida, me ha hecho recorrer el mundo y me ha permitido tener una charla increíble con ustedes aquí, muy lejos de casa.
I heard world and
yeah,
house.
That's in there. Yeah, world. That's right. So he said, like, even though it sounds maybe a bit worn out, he always writes out of necessity.
Huh.
And he never had a big goal other than just writing and trying to fill the pages each day. But it's transformed his life and it's taken him around the world. And it's allowed him to have an incredible conversation with you here, far from home.
Good reason.
Muy lejos de casa.
Oh, good reason.
Yeah.
And finally, what does translation do to you, Jonah? Does it feed your imagination or does it impede your own poetry?
No, well, it was a way. I was having a bit of a dry spell, and I found translation was a way to keep in the conversation, to keep in the craft, and it was something that I so wanted to do to bring Miguel to English readers, and so that really kept me going. And then COVID happened, of course, and I had lots more time to focus on it, and that's when I got the majority of poems translated during COVID. I started sending them out to a lot more journals.
Oh. Were they accepted?
Very easily. So translators out there, there are some wonderful journals that really, really support translation.
And we need it more than ever. How are we going to ever know what's going on in this world if we do not unify through language?
And in poetry, translation is just wonderful. And there's some great journals, some great editors that really support it.
I'm so glad to hear that. The time is now, Jonah.
Yep.
You're on time. It only took you 10 years.
Only 10 years.
I know, but look what the dedication is.
Yeah.
So it helps your imagination.
It does. It does help. And I, you know, you learn new things. You learn, you know, different ways of looking at the world, you know, new images, new phrasing. So it can only expand your own poetic vocabulary.
I love that. Yeah. So let us have a final couple of poems.
How many would you like?
As many as you got. I have a final one in Spanish and then in English.
Okay. So
Actually, we aren't going to end yet. Let's have poems, and I have a few more questions.
Okay.
Hace algunos años pinté de gris la habitación. Tallé las gotas con el martillo de Dufresne. Hoy todos los desagües mueren en la ventana sur. Veo el casamiento de los zorros y el cielo de Taillier. Pero también algunas veces, en sonámbulos descuidos, pude ver el sol. Hoy lo tapo con un dedo.
This poem's called The Room. It's a title poem of the second collection in the book. The Room. Some years ago, I painted the room gray. I carved the drops with the hammer of Dufresne. Today, all the drains die in the south window. I see the wedding of the foxes and a sky of Taillier. But also, sometimes, in sleepwalking carelessness, I could see the sun. Today, I cover it with a finger.
Oh, that is so wild.
I know, I love this
one. Wedding of the Foxes, cover the sun with your finger. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
That's totally great.
That is as good as it gets. Why I didn't want to end the program yet is because I want to know what you think of American poetry. Do you know contemporary American poetry? I mean, is it available to you? What do you think of it?
Bueno, hay una larga historia con la lectura de poetas y autores norteamericanos. Me emocioné muchas veces leyendo a Whitman.
Oh, yeah.
En especial su poema dedicado a Lincoln. Oh, capitán, mi capitán. Y después Eliot es uno de mis poetas predilectos también, T.S. Eliot, aunque después vivió en Inglaterra, ¿no?
Yeah.
Pienso a menudo en los cuatro cuartetos.
Uh-huh.
Y en este viaje mi intención era conocer también a poetas actuales, ¿no? De momento he leído a Seth Michelson y algo del libro de Jonah, que ahora me lo acabo de regalar. Y ahora que lo pienso, la no tan conocida poesía de Paul Auster me influenció mucho a mi escritura. ¿De qué manera? Bueno, en el manejo de cierto hermetismo en el poema, de decir lo justo para que trabaje más el lector. Y siempre tuve muy presente la literatura norteamericana, Poe, con sus cuentos espeluznantes, pero también Scott Fitzgerald, Hemingway, Flannery O'Connor, Carver, Raymond Carver, y many.
Yeah.
That's interesting because we hear T.S. Eliot, we hear Whitman, hear Raymond Carver, but those are kind of classic at this point.
Yeah.
So that what we need is contemporary poetry written in 2020 and 2024. And that's why translation is essential.
Yeah.
Because it would be nice if he knew the fabric of American poetry today.
Yeah.
So absolutely he has the classics down.
Yeah.
And what we need is more daily translations going on.
Yeah,
we've
definitely
got to get that bridge.
We were talking a little bit about some other poets, Anne Sexton, Sylvia Plath.
But they're still from the 50s.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But
they're important, essential.
Right.
Essential poets.
They're essential. That's true.
Now, I mean, Jonah needs to be known, and now he is. Is he known in Uruguay?
No, I doubt that.
Oh, even from this?
I don't think so. No.
Montevideo, do they know Jonah?
Me conoce a mí en Montevideo.
Si te conoce la voz en Montevideo.
Sí.
You two are so used to talking to each other.
I know, sorry.
Y más que nada mi grupo de poetas,
claro,
amigos,
claro,
escritores amigos.
Yeah.
My group.
Your group.
In its group with some friends. Mm-hmm. So it's something. It's something.
It will grow. Sí. It will grow as the book
crece,
gets around.
Crece.
So we will have a final. Now we will have another final poem.
Yeah?
Yeah. Do you have one?
Another poem.
Just
elige.
Choose one.
Sí, elige lo que quieras.
How about The Library of Rain?
Oh, you want to do that one?
Okay. 53.
Pluvioteca.
Pluvioteca.
Do you want to...
52.
Do you want to read it in English and have him... We'll end up in Spanish? Because
sure.
I like the idea of the water carrying through the theme.
And maybe can I just talk a little bit about the poem?
Please.
So there's a few things mentioned here. Thiago Roca is a poet. Another poet, Laura, who's actually a very good friend of his in Uruguay, and she helped me with some translation. Pizarnik, un poeta.
Poeta argentina, argentinian.
Argentine poet. Cortazar.
Mm-hmm.
Peri Rossi, poeta uruguayo.
Yeah, so there are some poets that are, in this Library of Rain.
Oh, absolutely.
Library of Rain. Nothing. Thiago Roca on the first shelf, with Laura and her calling water by its name. The Bible floods universally. It rains in a verse from Pizarnik, in an excerpt of Cortazar, in a poem by Piero Rossi. There is no dust but drops and moss and intertextual ravines. The pages are not forgotten. They fog up.
Bellissima. That's Italian. Yes. So they are the voices. You have heard the voices of Jonah, and now you're going to hear Miguel.
Nada te hago roca en el primer estante, junto a Laura y su llamar al agua por su nombre. La Biblia diluvia universal. Llueve en un verso de Pizarnik, en un fragmento de Cortázar, en un poema de Peri Rossi. No hay polvo sino gotas y musgo y cañadas intertextuales. Las páginas no se olvidan, se empañan.
The voices of Miguel Avero and Jonah Colson. And this is the Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. We wish to thank the Rivada Foundation, the Sinibit Fund, and friends of the library, Natalie Canavore, Sandy Jackson Cohen, and Avide Shoshani. And we want to thank the Library of Congress for making the program possible. The program is produced by Forest Woods Media Production, post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. Mike Turpin's their engineer, and I'm Grace Cavalieri.